The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You're all very welcome today to this service of morning prayer. I've been asked to point out to you that there has been a slight flickering that won't affect the people at home, but this camera there or that projector there has been flickering, so I'm apologizing to you in advance. You're very, very welcome. A few notices. Next week is going to be a service of remembrance. And we're going to be asking for this service of thanksgiving and remembrance. We're asking that priority be given to those people who have been bereaved over the last year. And we're asking that people tune in and watch it online as there have been places booked up and will continue to be booked up for families who have lost loved ones over the last year. So a service of thanksgiving and remembrance next week in the morning and in the evening. There's more space in the evening. Also, we're asking that we leave that space too for Sunday school families. So it's an unusual ask, but during this time, it's a way of sharing ourselves and sharing with our neighbor. This week, on Monday, we've got toddlers in the morning. That's fully booked, and it's going very nicely. We're pleased there. In the evening, we've got BB, junior section, and senior section. On Tuesday, there's the Anchor Boys. And if any of you know any boys of primary school and high school age, point them in our direction. They'd be always very, very welcome. On Wednesday, there's Pilates. I'm hearing good things about that. On Wednesday, there's also Alpha at 8 p.m., and that's ongoing. Thursday at 7 p.m., we have our time of prayer online. And anyone who's interested in sharing that time with us, please give me or our rector your email, and we'll get you linked in. Our opening hymn today is Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and our praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 146, and we'll stand and we'll read it together. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. As long as I have any being, I will sing praises to my God. Put not your trust in princes, nor in any human power, for there is no breath in them. When their breath goes forth, they return to the earth. On that day, all their thoughts perish. Happy are those who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those that suffer wrong, and bread to those who hunger. The Lord looses those that are bound. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger in the land. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Ruth, starting at the first chapter, the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's wife was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, after they had lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown kindness to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back to you, to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why should you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is "Let There Be Love." And during this hymn, our children and young people will go out to Sunday school. Please take your seats. Our New Testament reading comes from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus and the others debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
"Well said, teacher,"
the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him, to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor
as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. We're going to continue our theme of looking at climate change as we watch a short video, and it's entitled, "We're Grateful for Fossil Fuels, but It's Time to Move On."
You're based in Texas, one of the centers of the oil industry. How do you engage with Christians who may take a very different view than you do regarding climate change?
I live in Texas, and Texas is unique for many reasons. It is the most vulnerable state in the United States to the impacts of a changing climate. It is the center of oil and gas production in the United States and one of the top centers in the world. It is also a place where many people reject the truth of what God's creation is telling us. But it's also a place, I believe, where we can make some of the biggest difference. So, what is it like in Texas? Well, one of our state senators a few years ago said this: "Climate change is not science, it's religion." And Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina agreed. He said the problem is Al Gore. He's the one who turned it into a religion. When people are saying this, what are they doing? They are very deliberately trying to cast climate change as an alternate religion. Why? Because the vast majority of us already have a religion that we're very happy with, over 80% of us around the world. And if this is cast as a false religion, as an earth-worshipping religion, as a pagan religion, if it's cast as a religion, then the majority of us who are true believers will reject it. So that is what this messaging is trying to accomplish. Unfortunately, when this type of messaging first started to circulate a number of decades ago, people said, "Oh, well, if that's the case, all we need to do is have religious leaders tell people the truth, and then people will change their minds." Because, of course, we know that the Pope released an encyclical back in 2015 that talked all about climate change, about how global warming is being caused by the enormous consumption of the wealthiest nations with repercussions in the poorest places of the planet. So what impact did the Pope's encyclical have on public opinion in the United States? Well, I have a colleague, her name is Ashley Landrum, and she studies this. She found that rather than changing people's opinions about climate change in the United States, she specifically only studied people in the US, she found that it changed people's opinions about the Pope. If Christians, either Catholic or Protestant, already agreed with the Pope about climate change, they thought more of the Pope. However, if they didn't agree with the Pope, their opinion of the Pope went down. Yes. Isn't that shocking? So how do we have conversations in difficult situations, as I often find myself in here in Texas? The only way to have that constructive conversation is to connect over something that we truly share. And here's the thing. Number one, sometimes it doesn't exist. We just can't find anything. And if that's the case, we're not the person to have the conversation. I was asked to address the board of an oil and gas company. And again, my rule is, if I can't figure out how to connect, I'm not going to do it. I'm not the right person to have the conversation. So I wasn't quite sure what to do. I sat on the request for a while. I said, let me think about it. I prayed about it. And then suddenly one day it came to me. I am profoundly grateful for fossil fuels. If we were living back 300 or 400 years ago, our lifespan would have been half what it was today. The average lifespan in the UK back in the early 1800s was 40 years, and now it's 80 years. As a woman, my life would have been endless drudgery, you know, taking all day to do the laundry back in the days when people only had two or three outfits to begin with. Going to find water, cooking food, growing food, cleaning up after the food. Not only that, but fossil fuels and industrialization were a huge part of what enabled us to eliminate slavery, first of all in the British Empire and later even in the Civil War in the United States. It enabled us to free ourselves of enormous amounts of human labor, of female labor, of child labor, of animal labor, and most importantly, of slave labor. When I think about the simple benefits of electricity, transportation, refrigeration, being able to see the world, being able to interact with people right now as we are today, all of these benefits have been brought to us by fossil fuels. Just because I'm grateful for fossil fuels, though, doesn't mean that I still want to use them in the future. We're grateful for buggies and horses, but when the Model T Ford came along, people recognized that was the better way. We were grateful for party line telephones back in the day, and I even had one as a child, but now that we have cell phones, we're grateful for those. I still remember when my husband actually gave me my first iPhone for Christmas, I think, one year, and I remember thinking to myself, what a terrible present. I never asked for this. I didn't want it. Why would he give this to me? Turns out he knew what he was doing. So I am profoundly grateful for what has brought us to this place, but at the same time, I recognize that while we still need energy in the future, there's a different way to get it. So I decided to accept. I went in and I started by saying simply that I was grateful that they provided an essential service to people, that many of the poorest places in the world did not have access to energy, and that was enhancing their poverty, that we needed energy today more than ever, but the question is, how are we going to get it in the future? And that completely changed the conversation. I was scheduled to talk to them for maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. It ended up going for 2 hours. And they said, you get it. You understand what we're doing. We provide jobs for people. We provide industry in some areas where otherwise there wouldn't be much. We provide the essential energy that people need, and we try to do so in a way to be good stewards. In fact, they said, we've empowered our operations out in West Texas with wind energy. I didn't even know that. They hadn't really been blowing their own horn on that. So that was a time when, because we were able to connect, we were able to have an incredible conversation.
Let's continue worshiping together by saying together the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand with me. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, a collect for All Saints' Day. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn is Will You Come and Follow Me? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, help us, all of us, to open our hearts and minds to you and learn to love you more closely and love our neighbor more closely. Amen. Please take a seat. So, what is the greatest of all the laws of all the commandments? That was a question that was asked of Jesus. And he gave a good answer. And the answer, I think, still stands today. The most important one of everything that it says in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the prophets, all the Psalms, everything. He said, everything can hang on these two things. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, and there's no commandment greater than these.
So it was a good answer then, and it's a good answer now. The greatest commandment, the biggest thing we're asked to do, is to love God with everything we have, and at the same time, love our fellow human beings with the same dedication as we would give to loving ourselves. There was a man who loved his wife so much that he wanted to give her a gift. He gutted an upstairs room. He threw out all the furniture. He opened up the windows so that they let in all the light, and he painted everything white, and he called her up. And he said, I love you so much. I've made you your very own art studio. Now you can paint to your heart's content. And she looked at him and she said, are you mad? What have you done with the kids' beds? So the next day, he went to the kids and he said, I'm sorry about your beds. There's new ones. They're ordered from IKEA. They'll be here soon. But I love you so much. We're going to go on a Disney cruise. And the kids went, yes. Mickey Mouse. And the man's wife looked at him and said, how are you going to pay for that? And he said, oh, I sold your car. The man showing love for his wife at the expense of the kids wasn't really love at all, not in any useful way. It could have been seen as sentimental, but sometimes that's not good enough. And the man showing his love for his children at the expense of his wife, well, again, that didn't hit the mark either. No matter how we cut it, whichever book of the Bible we start in, whatever translation we use, love for God that ignores love for our neighbor, whether we know them or not, or like them or not, I bet there's some people you don't like. Love for God that ignores the neighbor is questionable. And love for our fellow humans that ignores God should also be called into question. Now that's actually probably putting it a bit lightly. Of all the laws, Jesus said that the laws of love were the greatest. Now laws speak to our behavior and they tell us what to do and what not to do. Don't speed when you're driving. Do wear a mask when you're going into some shops. When you're making a cup of tea, always put the milk in first. Always. Okay. Do you know what? A confession. In a cafe in Loch Lomond, I almost got into an argument. An argument actually started with a waitress about the tea. And I'm not even going to get into it now because I feel myself getting heated. It's funny the things that we get upset about. I'll tell you later if you ask. But these laws, they speak to our behavior, what we do and what we don't do. In our story about the inept husband, his wife, though, wasn't just simply left questioning what he was doing. She was looking at him and she started to question, who is this person actually? Who is this guy that I married? See, laws speak to our behavior, but our behavior speaks to our character. When the teacher of the law asked Jesus about the law, he was asking Jesus not just to discuss a way of living, but to discuss the character of what it means to be the people of God. And then Jesus gave his answer. And then the teacher of the law did something that's actually quite unusual in the Bible. It's not found many other places. The teacher of the law agreed with Jesus and said, you are right. And to love in this way is more important than even burnt offerings and sacrifices. The character of love outweighs the rules that we have of following. Although this man was actually quoting from the Old Testament, his was a bold statement. Burnt offerings and sacrifices were the accepted way for those people, and at that time, they were the accepted way of declaring their love and devotion to God. It was their way of marking their identity as God's people. But Jesus was saying the way of love is different. It comes out of the heart. So If we're called to love God with all of our heart, what can this love look like? Well, I suppose it depends. It depends on who you are. It can look like many things for many different people. But I think there are some commonalities. It can look like saying to God in the quiet moments, God, I love you. It looks like saying to God, God, I've had a plan. I've had a plan for years, and I've lived after a pattern that's meant I've been able to put food on the table, I've provided and protected for my family, and I've organized my life in a way that benefits me and benefits my own. But now I want to look to you, God. I want you to provide for me. And if this means starting to do some things differently, I will. And one thing the love for God will do is cost us, and it will cost us in time. We can't say we love someone and not spend any time with them, alone time. If we never, ever spend time alone with those we say we love, well, the people we love would have a right to start asking questions. And it's the same with God. And what does it mean to love our neighbor? Well, what do we do? What do you do? What do I do for the people we love? We spend time with them, like we've said. We share with them. We pray for them. And if they're in pain or if they're in trouble, we have this drive inside us to act. This is what we're called to do for those around us. And this is what love looks like. And this love will cost. And it will be a real sacrifice. And we may even be financially poorer after showing this love for those around us. Love is looking at the people around us in the pews, our neighbors in the street, the people we know, the people we don't know, the people we like, the people we don't like, the ones that like us, the ones that don't like us, all of us. And it's saying, when you're happy, I'm happy. When you're well, I'm well. When you hurt, I hurt. And you can imagine this kind of love is genuinely exhausting. Just the thought of it. Whew. Need a cup of tea. Need it made right. But what did Jesus' love look like? It looked like walking from town to town, healing and restoring the lost. It looked like constantly receiving threats and criticisms for what he was doing out of his character. Because loving the lost ended up with him hanging around with people who were seen as bad company. And it all sounds a bit impossible, to be honest, but with God, all is possible. God wants us to give time and to love him. He will give us the time and the love we need to do that. And God wants us to give our time and love to the humans we have been put here with. And he will give us the time and the resources to do this. And all this is based in the love that God has for us. He loves us more than we can ever imagine. He loves us more than any mommy or daddy ever did. And the fact that we are raised in this love and we live in this love will give us the spirit and the energy that we need to do God's will. That's one of God's promises that he has for us. The way of love may seem like an unrealistic dream, a fairy tale. But remember, we say the Lord's Prayer every week, and a lot of you every day, we say the Lord's Prayer. And we pray those words, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And whenever we pray those words, we're calling for that place of love that would be in heaven to be here now in our so-called real world. When we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength, and when we love our neighbor as ourself, we start to become an answer to that Lord's Prayer. And with that in mind, let's turn now to prayer. Let's have a time of prayer. And let's bring the world, and our neighbors to God. There'll be a response in today's prayer, and we'll use part of the Lord's Prayer. Whenever in the prayers you hear, God of love, would you please say, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God of love, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of the world we live in. The ground we walk on and the sea around it are all creations of your hand. In the things that we do and the things that we don't do, guide us to be good stewards of the land. Change us from consumers to carers, and make us mindful of the planet we live in. The generations who come after us need to be left a safe place to live in, and we need to honor your creation. God of love, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the leaders of the world who will be gathering in Glasgow very soon for the COP meetings. This will be a time when these leaders decide what decisions will be made to care for the planet we live on. We ask for bravery among these leaders, and we ask that they will decide to do what is right for the planet and the most vulnerable people of the world, and not just opt for self-promotions and self-protection. God of love, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray for the people in this parish and those known to us. We pray for those who are hurting and those who seek to care for them. We pray for those who are seriously unwell and for those who seek to care for them. We pray for those who are living in residential care and for those who seek to care for them. And we pray for the bereaved and those who seek to care for them. God of love, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for those in need whom we don't know yet, those ones we don't know about. We pray that this week, as we seek to love you first and to love our neighbor before ourselves, we will find and offer ourselves and love to those in need. God of love, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We gather our prayers together, using the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, which we'll stand and sing together, is God Forgave My Sin.
We end with a blessing prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the God of love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. We close by singing together, And Can It Be?